Well, the sermon this morning continues with the book of Exodus. We're going to be looking at the plagues as a whole. There are 10 plagues. And what it tells us about God working in our lives. You know, we talk about things of biblical proportion, and we always go back to the 10 plagues in Egypt. For thousands of years, these have been benchmarks for big disasters. So we're going to look at the various plagues that are found in chapters 8 through 12. And so is the Bible study going to be going a little bit deeper into that than I possibly can in 37 and a half minutes. Just kidding. The term plague is a disaster of all different kinds. The first sign that God sent against Egypt. The principal players are God, Pharaoh, Moses, and Aaron. The wise men and the magicians of Egypt that tried to offset what Moses was doing. It tells us how God is going to operate then, 3,500 years ago, and now. It tells us how God speaks through people like us in many ways. God is the principal character of the text. He is the one who exposed the false gods of Egypt that became impossible to work. It was God who used the plagues to make his word and his presence known throughout the earth at that time. He was one that brought Pharaoh to his knees because he was unobedient to the commands of God. There are three things about the plagues. Number one, they were miraculous. They were meaningful and they were even merciful. It's amazing what was going on. The plagues were miraculous. What exactly were the plagues? Some of the modern historians are trying to poo-poo the plagues as not being really a miracle. One commentary by the name of Ronald Clement says, there were natural things going on in Egypt. There was a lot of rain up in Ethiopia and up in the mountains, and this brought down the red mud into the Nile and caused it to turn red. They said that this then polluted the Nile and all the frogs came out and the fish died and brought on a lot of mosquitoes and gnats. And they go on to explain that these were just a result of natural occurrences. Well, there are so many historians that are desperately trying to prove that these plagues were not true. For example, they go back and try to compare the creation of the earth, that it could not have happened in 7 days. They have problems with Jesus walking on the water and Jesus rising from the dead. I believe that God acted in time and place and taking charge over nature because he created nature. He made things happen. He was the one that put all the mix together to make things happen. So he could do anything with creation. Well, let's talk about four reasons that the plagues were actually miracles and not just circumstances. The first, it says that God was going to stretch out his hand and perform miracles. God said, I am going to work miracles in your life, Moses, and I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. God himself, he said he is going to be a change maker. Well, the plague, secondly, started and ended by what Moses did and Aaron. Aaron and Moses commanded that these plagues start and commanded that they end. Now, most of the time, things don't happen like that, like a thunderstorm or clouds pass over. Moses and Aaron, God's agent on the scene, were able to begin the plagues and stop them, which is impossible. The third rational proof is that the plagues were miraculous because they happened to just the Egyptians. The Israelites were not affected by the blood in the water or the gnats or the mosquitoes or the locusts or the frogs or the hail or the boils. All of those, they did not. As one commentator notes, if native Egyptian magicians could tell that the plagues were not natural phenomena. The magicians of Pharaoh said, these are not natural, these are miracles, because they couldn't emulate them. As I said, the Egyptians had their firstborn killed, not the Israelites. The Israelites were not affected by the boils or the gnats or the locusts. It would take a lot for that to be a natural phenomenon to affect one group over here and not another group just a few miles away. Plagues were meaningful. They had a purpose. The plagues demonstrated the futility of worshiping false gods. God said, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord, and I am going to execute judgment. They had no confidence in their false gods. The Egyptians had a god for everything, a god for the river, a god for the crops, a god for the animals. But God turned the Nile into blood, and that the god of the river was not able to do anything about it. God was demonstrating that everything was under his control. Everything. The fact was made clear to me when the Egyptians had a god of the frogs, the god of fertility. Now, when I was a Boy Scout, this made me very, very clear about frogs. Well, one of my projects was to raise frogs in a terrarium. Well, I captured about 4 frogs, fixed up their little home with little grass and a little pond and rocks, and they had plenty of water to frolic in, and they frolicked, and all of a sudden, in a few weeks, I had frogs all over the place. The Egyptian god of frogs was called Hekate. He was supposed to breathe life into the bodies of people to make them... He took the symbol of life and turned it into the picture of death. God said the frogs are not a result of your God. Remember, God is a jealous God. He had a direct attack on the gods of Egypt. He didn't want to share the stage with anybody else. Take this with the plague of locusts. The locusts came and swarmed over everything. Were the Egyptians' work of Senehem, which was supposed to protect the land against all those evil things that destroyed crops. But Senehem had no power to stop the locusts at all. The plague of darkness was a direct attack on the worship of Amun-Re, the god of the sun. Amun-Re, the god of the sun, could not take the darkness away. God uses his judgment to inflict judgment upon the gods of Egypt. God used the plagues to make himself known. Now the Egyptians knew that their gods were ineffective. And then Moses said, the God of Israel, the only God is the God that is there. But he did not want people to say that Moses was a God, because Moses passed that on and said, I did nothing. God did that through me. Well, the Egyptians were pantheists, and polytheists means they have many gods for all things. But God wanted them to know him. He was always drawing people to himself. God says, look at the creation I've made, and you can't do anything about it without me. And thirdly, consider with me the plagues. Demonstrates that sins have consequences. In chapter 9, 34, it says, Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, and he sinned again and hardened his heart. He and his servants and Pharaoh's heart were hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. God continually pounded upon him to say, you've got to listen to me, but what do I have to do to have you listen to me? How many times does God pound upon our heart to say, you've got to listen? When you disobey God, at some time you will suffer consequences. God comes to us many times and tries to get our attention. Even in the hurricanes and disasters, and 9/11 disaster, God came into that situation and brought people together like never before. What kind of result is that? That's the result of God affecting people more than you realize. Pharaoh started to realize that he couldn't sit in a vacuum. And every sin that you do affects other people in your life, oftentimes the ones that you love the most. James says in the first chapter, "But let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." God may give us trials and make us work hard, but he does not tempt us. Pharaoh sinned of his own accord. He did that by denying God, to push back and say, "No, this is not God. This is my God." So the final plague came that all the firstborn in the land of Egypt were to be killed, except, which the Passover celebrates, the Passover of the angel of death in the houses of the Israelites. The plagues were meaningful. The plagues reveal the mercy of God. But why all the theatrics? Why didn't God just wipe out the Egyptians and let the Israelites go? He could have killed them in one fell swoop, but that's not the way God works. God is merciful. He comes to you many times, over and over and over again, just as he did with Pharaoh. God kept on piling on these disasters. The flies came and devastated the land. The livestock died. The people got boils. Darkness covered parts of Egypt, only where the Egyptians were, but not where the Israelites were. God is a merciful God, one who gives us chance after chance to repent. Ezekiel 33 says, "As I live, declared the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather the wicked turn away from his way and live." God wants all of us to live. He loves all of us deeply. He doesn't hate the murderer or the child abuser. He loves the person and wants the person to change. God will go to great lengths, as he did with Pharaoh, to get our attention, to grab us by the ears and say, "You're going to do this. You're going to follow me and be my child." Sometimes in the midst of our pain, we will repent and come to God and realize that God is the only one who can help us. There came a time in Pharaoh's life when he finally said, "Enough, I will let the Israelites go." As I said, those plagues happened some 3,500 years ago. It gives us a warning to just pay attention to what's going on in our life, to work as a warning against disobedience, as a warning against exerting our will against the will of God. We have to know the will of God by listening to him and communicating with him. How? Well, by prayer. We do a lot of prayer in this church. This warning assures us that there are consequences. God has worked miracles in this church, in the life of this church, and in many people's lives here. We have seen it. All these things are done for a purpose. Everything that happens in our life is done for a purpose. It was a very interesting thing happened yesterday. Several of us went to see South Pacific at the Pace Center in Parker. You know, I expected a fun afternoon. You know, it's just a Broadway musical with lots of songs that everybody knows. But it became abundantly clear to me and most of us around us, including Betty and Lynn and Hugh and Ellen and others that were there, that God reached into my heart especially and tore it open. From the beginning number, I was just filled with sadness. And I was deeply touched by the music going on and the circumstances. It was deeply touched about the message of racial injustice, love that goes beyond human problems and circumstances, and the joy that living in harmony with God can give. It's just a musical, but God used that to at least open my heart. He works in our lives to make himself known to us, to reveal to us. Sometimes we need a slap, sometimes we need a little touch, and sometimes we need a Broadway musical. That worked really great. If we listen and obey, things go well. And I hear this voice come to me saying, "Hey, Bruce, what is it that I, God, your God, is telling you this morning? What is God telling us this morning? What did God tell me yesterday? To open your heart, be softer and kinder, listen to people. What decision that I need to be doing that I've been putting off? God says to all of us, what do I need to do to get your attention? What is it in your life that needs my attention? And let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.